Business is simple. It's just not easy. We focus on three things to help you run and grow your business more easily: talent, sales, and how to scale. Can it be that simple? Talent. Develop a robust recruiting, vetting, and training process to help capable people and then help them to become who and what they want to be. Sales. Have a logical go-to-market strategy. Build the sales and marketing structure and plan around it, and then attack and execute the plan with fanatical consistency. Scale. Know where you're going, why you're going. Share with others why they would want to join you. Be clear on who's allowed to join you and what they'll need to do to stay on board. Anticipate roadblocks. Avoid them before you get stuck. And then when you do hit one, and you will, stay calm, problem solve, and find resources to get unstuck. Sounds simple, right? Simple to understand, but not easy to do. Join us as we focus on the tips and tricks and hacks for running a profitable, hyper-growth business. We'll share real-world horror stories and celebrate the victory sagas that will inspire you. This is the Talent, Sales, and Scale Show. Everyone, this is Brian Whittington with the Talent, Sales, and Scale podcast. So this is kind of a unique experience. I have James Bowden with me, and he's the guy behind the scenes that's making this all happen. And the reason James is on here, because we're going to talk about how we take our personal branding. And I think James is really doing a good job of that. He's helping me with it, helping some other people. So how do we take this personal branding and allow it to positively impact our talent acquisition? So that's why that's what we're going to be talking about today. So welcome, James.
Brian, this is quite meta. It's a very unique situation and interview to be having, but boy, am I honored to fall in line with the other guests you've had. Had the privilege of listening to every episode. They've been fantastic. And I'm just going to try and keep up and live up to the precedent that's been set so far here. So
yeah,
ready to
go. Well, you get the award for the best long curly hair. So you got to check him out on YouTube with his locks of flowing. So, all right. Well, so let's jump into this. I mean, you always know my first question is, why in the world should we listen to you? I mean, what makes you an expert on this?
Yeah. So, similar to others, I shy away from the term expert. I do like the term student. So I do consider myself a student of personal branding in this digital age of digital selling that we live in. And, you know, my authority comes from my own journey. I mean, it's just a matter of really doing it. It's a verifiable thing. I've made content for consistently since about 2016 on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Was when I really decided that I was going to build a personal brand. I wasn't going to use LinkedIn only for prospecting anymore. I wasn't going to use LinkedIn just for looking for a job. I was going to start using LinkedIn as a way to create a reputation for myself and become noticed. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. I grew up here. And realized at this point, 2016, been in sales for 8 years. I had just become an SDR for the first time at the ripe old age of 28.
Nice.
And after spending time in retail sales and finally got into B2B sales, got my weekends back, became an SDR, and started using LinkedIn to prospect and became aware of the platform. I realized when I was on LinkedIn that there was this world, this community, business community, and inside that business community, there were other people that were passionate about the same things that I was passionate about, sales and top of funnel and all of these nerdy things that I would typically just go to YouTube and try and, you know, watch Victor Antonio videos or whatever it was. So I kind of discovered that LinkedIn was this place. And then I realized, wow, I'm pretty far removed from where the moving and shaking is happening here in Raleigh, right? I mean, it's not a hub really for anything. We have some good tech startups here, and definitely in the last several years, it's gotten a lot better, but I didn't feel tapped in. I didn't feel like I could reach out and kind of get into that world. And so that's why I decided to build a personal brand. I said, I want to become a part of this community and become known and get to know these other people that are writing books and doing podcasts and being interviewed. And I want to do that. So I started that journey. I've been on it for 4 years. I've taken, I guess you could say, if you're being nice, you could say I've taken a measured approach to growing my network. You know, I don't have 30,000 followers, right? That was never a goal of mine to max that out. So I've never been somebody that's gone in and just added a bunch of people and accept every connection request. I mean, I very recently just crossed the 10,000 follower mark.
Okay.
But it's been amazing. I mean, my life's completely changed because of LinkedIn, right? I mean, everything I do now, literally all the ways that I make money in my life right now can directly be attributed back to having a personal brand and being on LinkedIn. And so it's so important to me that, you know, when we were talking about, what do you want to talk about on the podcast? You know, one thing that I've noticed after 4 years of doing this is a lot of people get on LinkedIn, they have the same discoveries and revelations that I had, and then they go all in on it. They go, I'm going to get 30,000 followers. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to become a LinkedIn consultant, and I'm just going to do this all the time. And that's great. And that has, I've legitimately seen people, you know, start after me, blow by me, and now they're, you know, LinkedIn people, right? I mean, they're all over the place, and that's great. I have continued to stay in, you know, I have a 9-to-5, right? So I have a unique kind of view of what it's like to have a personal brand and then also at the same time be a hiring manager at a company. So, you know, it's a unique experience. And I've found that having a personal brand whilst having a 9-to-5 and needing to do things like attracting good talent and finding great people, having a personal brand has helped a ton. People can show up to these meetings and show up things, you know, with a level of knowledge about who I am that is just unique. So all of that to say, that's why I'm ready and here to talk about it. I don't know if that makes me an expert. I don't know if any of that makes anybody want to continue to listen, but at the very least, I'll just edit this very well. So.
Nice. There you go. So there's a couple of parts out of there, right? So a student and an authority rather than an expert. So, you know, you can go back and you read or you listen to all of the Malcolm Gladwell or, you know, the 10,000 hours that it takes to be an expert, right? So however you want to take it, but I really like that idea of student because nothing ever stays the same. And so if we're a student, we're constantly learning, constantly evolving, doing the latest and greatest. So, I mean, just in the short while that you and I've been working together, how much have we changed? How much has developed since then? So I love that idea there. Now, so let's talk about this from a doer, because you're doing right now personal branding with a 9-to-5. So let's walk through that path and then I'll pivot over to the hiring side, the hiring manager, because it's been a progress. So let's start back on, okay, it's 2016. You're that SDR. Personal branding wasn't even a thing at that point. You were kind of cutting edge on that, leading edge on that. So talk to me, how did you figure that out? What's that path been?
Yeah. I mean, again, I think it was born out of, a desire to be able to build a reputation in a community and within a profession that it's just wasn't possible for me in the physical 9-to-5 world, right? I had just become an SDR. I have always been a fan of Zig Ziglar, the Victor Antonios, the, for better or worse, Grant Cardone's. I've always watched these folks, right? And I should mention this because this probably, you know, I think a lot of getting to the point where you feel comfortable of having a personal brand is just your personality. So, I mean, I grew up, I was in plays, I did theater. I've always been okay with being in the spotlight and, you know, somewhat of a ham. And so the idea of, you know, getting on a, you know, in front of a camera and talking and doing all of that. I mean, I did the news in high school, you know, that's all things that I enjoy doing and kind of a part of my, I guess, natural way of being.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always wanted to, in my mind, I always wanted to emulate those people that I would watch on YouTube, right? Those sales trainers, those authorities that were communicating their knowledge. Pivotal moment for me was, as you know, I'm sure tons of people that listen to this podcast and will listen to this, you know, Gary V was just one of those guys that made it clear to me that I could have a 9-to-5 and also do this thing on the side. I think I had had stops and starts even when I was selling cell phones for a while. I, on my way to work, when I was selling cell phones in a kiosk in a mall, I would just record videos of me driving and talking about sales and put it up on YouTube. I stopped doing that after like 2 weeks because, you know, it's hard to make, you know, all those things. So I had a lot of those kind of little stops and starts, right? But got to the point where I was like, okay, I've got a job where it's a set schedule and I can carve out like an hour at night to work on my personal brand, because that was the first barrier. And I think that's the first barrier for a lot of people. Where am I going to find the time?
Let me pause you there, because one of the key aspects that I think that most people fail to do is, you know, how many of you are saying, I don't have the time, right?
Yep.
That's the biggest excuse in the world, because everybody has 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I don't care if you're young, old, fat, skinny, what color, race you are, what gender you are. It doesn't matter. You have 24/7. What are you going to do with it? So it's really taking that. Now, out of curiosity, always been a ham, always in front of people. Would you call yourself an extrovert, an introvert? Are you out hanging out with people all the time? I mean, is it just your personality that's led you to this?
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is I've taken several tests about this. I test directly in the middle.
Okay.
I'm actually an ambivert. Daniel Pink, I think, maybe coined that term in his book To Sell as Human. And I fall right. It's 50-50, right? So I can absolutely get on and do the podcast and do the presentation and have a great time while I'm doing it and feel energized from it. But if I had to do another one right afterwards, I wouldn't be looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, give me 30 minutes to just kind of sit and be alone, not talk to anybody, you know, and I can do, that's very the way that I operate with work, right? I can go 9-to-5, jump from meeting to meeting, do the things at night. I just want to watch Star Trek and not talk to a soul, right? I mean, so it's very much 50-50 for me, which is why LinkedIn was great, because it was on tap. It's a, you know, I could access it when I wanted it, go to it when I wanted it, make a video, post, interact. And then when I am through with it, when I've had too much, I just literally can put the phone away, close the laptop, and I can pick it back up tomorrow.
Yeah. So a couple of episodes back, you had introduced us to Casey Jones. Casey Jones was on here talking about personal branding as well. And she really implied that it's that consistency, right? And you said that it's the fits of starts and stops, and that's our biggest constraint, right? Because we go, rah, let's get it, and we go all in, and then we just pull back. We're like, we're not seeing any results. So you've been doing this 4 years. What are maybe some areas that you're saying, hey, this has worked well? You know, definitely do this. And probably more importantly, what should we not do other than don't do the fits of starts and stops? I mean, that's the obvious one, but what else?
I mean, I think the first thing is to make a decision on how you're going to use LinkedIn and the type of personal brand that you're going to build.
Interesting. Okay.
So for me, it was because I think the choices are, I can show up and I can be the IT sales guy, right? Because right now my job is selling to IT people, and I can build a personal brand around talking to my prospects, right? Or I can build, and this is what I did, I can build a personal brand around whatever I'm doing. and open up and kind of just back away from being, you know, in 2016, I was an SDR for an analytics company. Never was I the data analytics SDR guy, right? I went on to work for a completely different type of company. I just chose not to become the, you know, and have my personal brand serve my prospects. It was more selfish and self-serving. Like, I'm just going to show up because my goal was I wanted to connect with other people. I wanted to become a part of that community. So I just wanted to show up and say, hey, here's who I am. Here's what I know based on what I've done. And here's what I'm learning every day.
Okay. That so you're... You're taking this more from a community mindedness, being part of this group, right? So we can't network in this day and age. We're on shutdown 2.0 right now. So this is really your networking, your connection. And now I can be worldwide as opposed to just Raleigh.
Exactly. Right. I can get away from having to apply online to jobs through Indeed and go to my network of people who know through the content that I've created about the way that I would run a cold call, the way that I would run a sales meeting, the way that I think about sales leadership, you know, all of these things. It just completely changes it. Now, it didn't happen overnight.
Right.
But that mindset, as opposed to, hey, I'm going to show up, I want to gain 30,000 followers and try and get them to buy something from me kind of approach.
Right.
What I've seen, how it's worked for me is my 9-to-5 that I have right now came from the relationship with Blake came from LinkedIn.
Yeah.
The side hustle that I have with my podcast, all from LinkedIn. Right. And I think, you know, I mentioned it. I mean, all of the streams of income that I have, all of the fantastic business relationships that I have are, at this point, 4 years later, all from LinkedIn. I've completely transitioned away from, I don't have to apply online to a job, right? I don't have to do that anymore. I have a network of people who know who I am that are connected to other people that are connected to other people. So I think that's the advantage of taking that approach. It's something that I would recommend doing as opposed to, you know, a transactional, because you may make some money off of them in the short term, you know, but, and I know Casey harps on this too, right? It's like that community is so much more lucrative for you in the long run.
And it seems like that community, and listen, I'm an introvert. I'm an introvert of introvert, right? It's so funny. I'm also such a type A personality. I need to get things done, get it done. So I haven't focused too much on the relationship, but in watching you, just had a really good conversation this morning, with Gayram, you know, she's amazing. And then, Casey Jones a while back or Ryan Reisert, what they really seem to have done well is created that community. I mean, what she's done with the Rev Genius is unbelievable. I mean, there are over 9,000 people already or something like that. I mean, how do you do that? And this, Galam Gurmai is what her name is on Rev Genius. So check her out.
She's amazing.
Yeah. And all that has been is creating community. And I see more and more people doing that. It seems like that's the most important thing to do, especially now on shutdown. Instead of this local network, now you can have global.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where so for me, it was, that decision early on was a little bit tough that I wasn't going to use LinkedIn to convert prospects so that I could make my $50 per meeting booked.
Right.
You know, that I was going to play this long game of, I don't ever expect, I mean, I've been on so many calls, 15-minute pick your brain, coffee, LinkedIn connection calls that have never gone anywhere. Like, I've met and talked to more people on LinkedIn and have forgotten about the conversations that we've had. Right.
Right.
And never once made any money off any of it. Started a podcast, zero intention of ever making any money off of that ever. Right. meeting these different people like Ryan, some of these key people that have helped shape my career in these last few years, like just completely no expectation of anything out of it. Right. And I think that helped me so much with the consistency piece.
Right.
When you show up and you've got all this weight on these outcomes, like I'm going to build a personal brand and I'm going to gain 30,000 followers and then I'm going to put out an ebook and they're going to buy it and I'm going to make this much money from it. I mean, that's fine to have that strategy. And I think I wish I had a little bit more of that because I could probably activate more of my network. But just that mindset of like, hey, I'm just going to like LinkedIn is, I have a job. Right. I'm not interested in quitting my job tomorrow to become a LinkedIn person. So that's an advantage. And I think a lot of people out there are in that position. Like, look, you could tomorrow just start writing text posts on LinkedIn. And pretty quickly, if you're consistent and actually smart, gain some notoriety at a certain level of just being a guy or gal who knows what she's talking about when it comes to ABC.
Yeah.
And that's all it really comes down to.
Yeah, and it doesn't take a whole lot other than that consistency, that 15 minutes a day, half hour a day, interacting with other people, posting. I mean, if you look at a Josh Braun, for example, I'm curious how many times a day he posts.
Yeah. But
it's unbelievable what he puts out there. So I'm not saying go from zero to a Josh Braun in a day, for goodness sakes. But, Katie Dorsey, I mean, that he put some good stuff out there and it seems like only once a day, but that's some really good content. So it doesn't necessarily need to be a ton of stuff, but it could be weighty stuff.
Yeah.
Where Braun does weighty and a ton. I don't know how the guy does it. Right. So geez Louise.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like seems to be a never ending just well of information. And I think so many people that I've talked to over the years that come, you know, hey, I really want to start a personal brand. Here are all the things that are stopping me.
So let's hit that. What are the things that they say are stopping them?
Yeah. It's the time, right? Yep. I have a 9-to-5. I have kids. I have all of these, I have hobbies that I like. Where's LinkedIn fitting in? We've talked about that. That's a BS excuse. You can find 30 minutes. You're spending 30 minutes doing something useless.
Making excuses.
Right. Accumulate all that. The second one would be, and this is a reality and it's something that I dealt with, but my company isn't a fan of me building my own personal brand on LinkedIn. Yeah. They only, if I'm going to be on LinkedIn under their company, you know, as an employee, they only want me doing X, Y, and Z, right? When I started posting on LinkedIn, the job, I got called into the office at my job about an article that I had posted that was like me promoting something job related, but it wasn't marketing approved, you know, and I got like reprimanded about that, right? And so I get it. That's a reality that people have to deal with. It's not like I left that company that day because of that, but the next job that I took made sure that I was very clear about my intentions with one, you know, how I was using LinkedIn. So I think that's the second thing. And sometimes I've heard of people that are able to go and say, hey, okay, great. I'm just not going to use LinkedIn for anything work related. I'll create my own little personal branding page if you really want to do it. Right. Or they just say, I'm just not going to worry about it right now and just say, scrap it. Cause it's a job and LinkedIn pays me $0. And then really, I think the last part, and this is if you've gotten through, I've found the time, I work at a place that it maybe even encouraged me to build a personal brand, right? Because they're smart enough to realize the value of that as a company. The third is, okay, well, am I posting once a day? Is it 4 times a day? What do I post? Is it all video? What's the algorithm? Who, you know, where's the, is it pictures? It's like, nope. I've been doing this long enough to say that worrying about any of like, just do it. It's just a text post is the easiest one. Text posts have typically, traditionally, over the time that I've been around, performed pretty consistently well. Mm-hmm. They're the easiest ones to do. So you start out just, you know, one a day, two a day, whatever you want. I mean, there's been times where I've done once a day, one video in the morning, one text post in the afternoon. Recently, like this year, I've gone weeks. I've been busy. Things have been happening, right? And nothing disappeared.
Right.
And so it's a lot of it is starting out. It's just about just showing up. Just showing up, whatever that looks like for you. A hack that I used early on was a lot of the times I would get other people involved, right? Yeah. So I would say, hey, like, you want to do this video with me on Friday for LinkedIn? Cool. And then you're going to do it because you don't want to not show up for that other person. You may back out on your own plans to create content on a Friday afternoon, like I'm sure a lot of people do, right? I hear that. It's like, oh, I'll save the content creation for Friday afternoon. I'll make videos and then post them next week. And then, you know, I'm going to go get a taco instead and do something else. But if you've got somebody else involved, that helped me a ton. So I think those things are the kind of the high level ones. But they're all just kind of surface level excuses, really.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the, cause I wanted to hit this a little bit earlier, but your company. I'm the owner of a company. I'm a leader, manager, and my people are out there on LinkedIn and posting professional, but maybe not my stuff. Why should I encourage that? Or should I? I think I know the answer, but
I would say it would largely depend. It would, if they're posting content about their own journey, right? Like, let's say you own a company and an SDR of yours creates content that has nothing to do with your company, but is about their, you know, journey as being a sales development professional, and they talk about cold calls or whatever. You know, as a business owner, you have to encourage your people to do that kind of thing, in my opinion, because, I mean, if you're really, truly interested in their own personal growth, right? Because I think what we're seeing now, especially with small businesses, with the work from home and just the stresses of life this year, it's like, people need to be emotionally supported. And part of emotionally supporting your employees is realizing that they're humans, right? And so they're complete people. They're not just the SDR that sits in seat number two that's supposed to do 100 dials every day. They're an SDR that's going through all these experiences, right? So even at a base level, encouraging your employees to have a personal brand if they want to have a personal brand, because that they're expressing themselves,
right?
And so just at that base level of, I'm going to support my people as long as it's a positive thing to do what they want to do. And if it leads them away from me and they get a YouTube deal and they quit, fantastic. What a great use case for me. And we'll get into this as a hiring manager,
correct, right?
I encourage my people to be who they are and go on and do great things, even if it's not with me here. You know, as a business owner, the advantage to it is if you're encouraging your people to do this, and we see this happening now with companies like Gravy and even, you know, all of the folks that are involved with Rev Genius, you start to have a really large presence. Gong is another good example.
Yeah.
You start seeing those purple pictures everywhere and you're like, who is this? Right? Even if the person that you originally come across is making posts about baking bread, but they have 12,000 likes on that post. And then you say, oh, okay, well, they work for this place. Oh, another one of these people is posting? What is it? And it's a very soft marketing play to get people interested in your company without ever having to talk about what it is. I saw posts from Sarah Brazier from Gong and followed her and just liked her content for months before I realized where she worked and what she did.
Interesting.
And there was so much value there. I was like, oh, huh, makes complete sense, you know? And so I think there is value for the business owner to encourage their employees to go out and build a personal brand, even if they're not talking about that business, because if they do it consistently enough, I mean, just, it's just attention and awareness, which is, you know, it's a noisy marketplace out there.
And you can't beat the price because it's free. Right. And my sense is, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, I'll ask you as you're doing this, did it force you to maybe dive down a little bit more deeply into your discipline, into your skills to be able to post or do a better job? Did it make you more engaged in the day to day?
Well, I mean, absolutely. Right. I mean, for me, when I was the SDR at the analytics company, I was learning how to be an SDR. So I was trying to learn as much as I could about cold calling cold emailing. And so I was, you know, creating content. Some of it was like, hey, like, how would you do this? And getting that feedback.
Yeah.
Amazing for my growth in that role, right? At my 9 to 5, it was feeding my performance there. And, you know, really, the beauty of a place like LinkedIn and building a personal brand on LinkedIn is, you know, I read Outbound Sales No Fluff and then had the opportunity to connect with the authors and learn from them one-to-one. And then that really just ran, I mean, you know, what other, that just wouldn't have happened.
Right.
They, you know? And so, yeah, I think for me, it's huge and just such a opportunity to, it may not feel like it. It may feel like, oh, I'm not working. I'm not sending work emails. Is this bad for, you know, my current role? Chances are, you know, if you're out there creating content, learning from other people and joining this community, whether it's sales, marketing, engineering, whatever it is, I mean, you're going to get better. And you're also more kind of holistically, like you said, like invested in what's happening, right? Like I definitely... you know, my involvement in building a personal brand has definitely kept me focused. Right. Yeah. I mean,
well, and the other thing, path. Yeah. And the other thing too, is if I'm building this brand, I have now instantly gained trust. And so the likelihood of a close, whenever we're back in the old days, even off of a referral, you get one close rate. But if they saw us off of a webinar or off of a, you know, back in the old days, whenever you actually be able to go in front of people and do an event, right? We'd have a 300% better closing ratio because you were instantly considered the subject matter expert and they know you, trust you. So my sense is that a lot of that's probably happening too.
Absolutely. And that's when it starts to get interesting as a hiring manager. Right.
Yeah. Because, so let's pivot down to that path. Let's hit this hiring manager now.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, you talked about how to get started, how to, you know, break through some of those normal and BS excuses. But once you've started, what you start to see is like as a hiring manager, no matter if you're, so let's, you're a sales development manager. It doesn't matter what industry you work in. If you've built an online reputation and a personal brand of one that is steeped in knowledge about sales development leadership, that's what a company, your company, wants to see from their leaders. And that's what, you know, potential employees want to see in a potential boss.
Right.
Right. It's like, okay, this person's really about all this and I can go see it and watch. Like, how many times are you, as an employee, a potential, you know, somebody applying for a job, able to go get a sneak preview of who you're going to be dealing with in a kind of in-depth way, right? I mean, if somebody's out there creating different types of content, video, text, all that stuff, you're going to get a pretty interesting and most likely at least surface level accurate depiction of who you're going to be dealing with. Right. So it's a game changer.
Yeah. Because you're not going to, you know, I've finally gotten to the point where people are now saying, hey, Brian, I want to work for you. Right. You know, I don't necessarily want this position. I could go get paid more somewhere else or blah, 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 but I want to work for you because they see this, right? Yeah. They know that we're going to pour our lives into them. And you're not going to see the person posting like this on a consistent basis if it's not legitimately them, because it's going to eventually come through. So that authenticity, because my sense is, and I'm not sure if you're finding this the same way, James, with you hiring, it has to be that culmination of your talent that you're bringing to the table or you're looking to develop, along with your passion. What do you really want to do? Because I don't care how skilled you are, if you don't like to do it, you're not going to do it. And then that cultural alignment, and that cultural alignment can really come through with what you're posting, how you're posting, the tenor, the tone, the content that you're putting out there. And my sense is people are going to see that and come to you. Is that kind of on base with what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've experienced, so again, being somebody who's maintained a personal brand while having a day job, a 9-to-5, there have been, the last data analytics startup that I worked for, at that point, I had been on LinkedIn for 2.5 years. I had started a podcast. My personal brand was rolling, you know, and we were needing to hire. And we only needed about, you know, one or two folks. It wasn't anything huge. And just completely stayed away from any job boards. I just said, let me just go to LinkedIn, you know? And it immediately had, you know, 25 people that just because of knowing me were at least interested at a surface level, right? What's even more interesting is, so during that process, one of the last people that I interviewed, literally she was like, hey, this is really weird because I feel like I know you, you know, I've watched all, you know, all the things. And so that conversation was the first time that it happened to me. Right. And that's when I was like, oh man, this completely changes the conversation. Now it was just such a, it was the, one of the last interviews I had, and you know how those go, right? Sometimes if you get a string of just dull interviews or surface level interviews as a hiring manager, you're like, oh man, am I even digging in enough here? Am I asking the right questions? And that conversation that I had with her, because of her familiarity with kind of what I cared about, even though it was a job at a data analytics company, it was a sales development job. So yeah. I'd post things about sales development. She's like, yes, can I just say that I also am weird and love cold calling and, you know, all these things. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. So we were just able to connect on a, you know, human to human level because, you know, I wasn't a stranger.
Yeah. Because one of the things that I'm really looking for whenever we're hiring now is, are you interacting with our content? Do you align with it? Because in the beginning, before we had all of this out there, you know, people are really good at saying, oh yeah, I 100% agree with that. Right. And then you test them on it and you're like, what are you thinking? We couldn't be any more clear on the expectations. And so by saying, okay, well, how would you do that? And if they can't reference back or have that same type of mentality or philosophy, it's going to be a disaster when they show up.
Yeah. And what we're seeing, and, you know, I think you're starting to see this, like if you look at, John Barrows is a great example. He's got a super team there, right? Yeah. He went out and he found Morgan, Morgan Ingram was working a 9-to-5, building his personal brand, like doing the thing that I've talked about, right?
Yeah.
He was young, but he was like documenting his journey. John found him, brought him on, and then they did the same thing with James Buckley. Right. James was another one of those guys who was out there. He worked for like a Salesforce plugin company for a long time. I used to see him at analytics conferences. And then, you know, they brought him in. Right. And so that's what happens. You attract the tribe, you attract the people that are like-minded. And then that next level, like what John's doing, you start building a company of people with personal brands built in.
Yeah,
that's a book of business, right? In a lot of ways. So it becomes very, very interesting in kind of that ROI of, you know, having a personal brand.
That's really interesting, because if you think about it, then what Barrows is doing is he has a definite brand. I mean, he's really well out there. He's well known.
Yeah, then all on his own.
Yeah, and by pulling those couple of additional people in, that's not just hiring right people. but that's also marketing on steroids, right? Because they're already bringing their people in. Now they're trusted. You're trusted even more because of these folks. And it's an upswelling of just people. And that it goes to that flywheel effect, right? It's like a gravitational pull that just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, which is, you know, in a positive way. So that's some good stuff. Now, any downsides? I mean, what's the downsides? We've been saying all this stuff about, hey, this is why you should do it. This is how you should do it. You know, any downsides that we should worry about or avoid?
I mean, speaking from the point of view of somebody like a hiring manager that has a personal brand, right? And or it, you know, has a 9-to-5, wants to build a personal brand. All of these are great reasons why you should do it. It's definitely, I definitely think some downsides are those. I unfortunately have seen those folks that come in, see some sort of initial traction or interaction and like quit their jobs. And like 6 months later, I can't find them anywhere. You know, it's like things probably didn't work out well for them. So I think take a measured approach, right? would be what I would say, right? It's like, don't worry about getting too into it. Definitely don't buy into anything inside of your own ego, right? Don't become the LinkedIn guy or gal, even to yourself, right? Because then, and this is something that Morgan Ingram and I talk about a lot. It's like being a, what does he say? The phrase that he uses is action leader instead of influencer, right? Okay. So the influencers are the people that sit at the top of the mountain at, you know, Mount Olympus, and they say, this is how you should do it. And, you know, buy my ebook, and all my marketing's fancy and shiny and always looks great and everything's always perfect. And then there's me, you know, still got a job, still got a 9-to-5, but it's just such a more, you know, genuine way to go about it. And I think a lot of people can get a little carried away with it. You know, you can get a little carried away with building your own personal brand and being whoever you're being while you're there. Just, you know, it's always good to have, for me, it's always been my kids, right? My kids always immediately bring me back to reality after a really good, you know, LinkedIn webinar where I'm feeling really great about, you know, cold calling and hey, and then, you know, dad,
you suck.
Yeah. You're horrible at Fortnite, you know? So having a good reality check in there. And then, I mean, the reality is, yes, it's got to have its place, right? You can't spend your whole day on LinkedIn. And honestly, I've been thinking about this as we've been talking. I think my biggest piece of advice and the best thing you can do if you're building a personal brand, especially on LinkedIn, best thing you can do is create your content, talk about whatever you want to talk about, but then find ways to be validated within the community that you're the real deal.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, that was like getting connected with somebody like Ryan Reisert and working for Ryan and Rex.
Yeah.
You know, like I knew that, okay, great. I'm going to go work for Ryan and Rex. They're going to see in real life how hard of a worker I am, the things that I can do well, and, you know, that I'm not out here just blowing smoke. That's going to add a layer of credibility to me because then they, you know, we actually work together. It's not just, is James a LinkedIn person who knows how to put words together well? It's like, oh, he actually does these things in real life. Marrying those two things together, right? Where, and, you know, companies where they're encouraging personal branding is very easy to do that, right? Because you can confirm each other's stories, right? And validate each other and, you know, those reviews and recommendations on LinkedIn are great. And but that's so powerful because that will save you from feeling like an imposter or a fake influencer, right? If you're showing up every day and you're doing the good work, you're documenting the good work, that's your content, you know, all of that can get validated. And then you are that truly trusted person, you know, and it just gives you an ability to hire the best talent because they want to come work for you. I mean, how great is that, Brian, to be able to sit back and have people say, I want to you know, I'm willing to work within your strictures, whatever I have to do to play your game, right? I'll do it. And because they know the game, because you've shown them the game, right?
Yeah, and not be Google, not be super monstrosity, right? Because you have to, whenever you're smaller, you have to figure out those ways of attracting that talent where they'd actually want to work with you. That's some great stuff. So my gosh, coming down on time, son of a gun.
I know.
Excuse me. All right. So what's the future hold? I mean, pull out your magic eight ball. What's the future hold? What do we need to watch out for?
Yeah. I mean, I think the future is digital all the way around. Digital content creation, digital marketing, digital selling. I mean, I think it's just all going to be, you know, the for salespeople, for business owners, anybody concerned with new, you know, gaining new business and converting those people into, you know, lifelong customers, the customer journey, I mean, it has to be digital now, right? You have to meet these people, you have to meet people where they're at, right? And what Ryan and I are doing and you and I are doing, right? Creating this digital content that's around something that relates to your business or your initiatives or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, deploying it in a way where, you know, it is useful for marketing. You have a presence on a platform like LinkedIn. I think the future is going to be processes and companies that have figured this out. And so salespeople are, you know, like expected to be ready to get on camera and make some videos and be, you know, and just do it. And kind of, you know, if you don't have a personal brand, you're not really playing the game. You can't even really be in the game because you don't have that kind of reputation, the notoriety, the trust. So I think the future is just more of what we've seen even just this year, right? Because it's just gotten so obvious.
So you know? You're saying I need to troll TikTok for those that are personal branding.
Well, and you know what's interesting about that is, so I am here talking about personal branding and social media and all this stuff for the last hour, but I'm only on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I don't have, you know, I have a Twitter that I never get on, but I think that's another thing that people maybe shy away from doing this. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want to be one of those TikTok people. Well, me neither. And I'm not.
I think you're doing well on TikTok.
Yeah. I'll save that for my kids. they can take care of that.
There you go.
Yeah. I think the future is having a presence digitally.
Yeah. Because, you know, let's face it, even once things quote unquote go back to normal, whatever that's going to look like, travel, I think, is forever changed. Mm-hmm. Getting in front of people in a face-to-face, I think, is forever changed. People don't want to travel. They didn't like being road warriors. And yeah. If I can do it online, amen, hallelujah, I'll do that.
Yeah.
I think that's wise. And if you're not ready for it, it doesn't matter. It's happening and you better step up to it or you're going to be on the sidelines going, what in the world just happened here? So, hey, really good stuff. I can't thank you enough here, James. So who should reach out to you? How should they do it? And why should they reach out to you?
Yeah. I mean, look, if you are interested in talking about building a presence on LinkedIn, figuring out a way to, you know, make some money off LinkedIn, build a process around selling on LinkedIn. You know, these are all things that I'd be happy to talk to anybody about. I would be remiss if I didn't give a shameless plug for the meta-ness of this discussion here. The Lunch Break Media Group is actively accepting clients for podcast editing. And so anybody that has any questions around that or video editing, happy to talk to them about that.
Do you see that was some hiring management 201 right there. Love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I had that planned from the very beginning.
Nice.
I think in 30 minutes, I'm just going to have a conversation with somebody I've never met about sales. So I do that all the time too. Yeah. I'm very low barrier to entry for my Calendly link. I'll send it out. I love talking about sales. So you can find me on LinkedIn. That's the best place to find me. You will not find me on TikTok. So.
James Bowden, B-A-W-D-E-N, James Bowden. Reach out to him. So I can't thank you enough, James. You don't have to edit this one at all, except for whenever I coughed. Good stuff. I can't thank you enough. Hey, get after it, guys. Guys and gals, get after it. Make it happen. I mean, take control of it, for goodness sakes. Block out 15 minutes, 30 minutes. But really, this is in your hands. Choose what you want to make of it. Have fun with it. Be authentic. But truly, genuinely, just get after it and have some fun. Make something happen. So, hey, this is Brian Whittington with this episode of the Talent, Sales, and Scale Show. Thanks. See ya.